We're in a time of such training for reigning. We can't allow things to get past us or be distracted. Things are about to happen quickly, and many will miss it. You've kept hearing me say before, because I can't hold it back, that God's about to release His glory through His body. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We're so close. But there's other things got to... You know, when God's glory begins to be released trickling, it exposes, because more light exposes wickedness. Amen? So that's why we're seeing more and more exposure of wickedness happening globally, because God's releasing His glory more. But there's going to be an overflow, and we talked about moments of breakthrough, amen, breakthrough moments, but that they're going to begin to overlap. You may already see in breakthrough moments in your own personal life, and the way you think, the way you hear, the certain things that are happening personally. But there's going to be global breakthrough moments where the world is going to see God's glory. Now, you know, there's a multiple areas of what God's glory is like. First of all, glory is a representation of the highest honor. Amen? It is the highest honor. The highest honor we can give God is the highest praise and worship. Amen? So, one of the things I want to talk about tonight, I mean, I've got so much stuff that was, and I said, Lord, what do you want to tell you? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of glory. Everyone say the Spirit of glory. Amen. The Spirit of glory. So if the Spirit of glory, remember, it's God's glory. It's who He is. It's His personal person. It's the highest praise of God. God's glory. Moses wanted to see God's glory, and the Lord said, man, you know, you can't really see my glory. You'll blow up. So God put His hand in front of Moses' face so that when he went by, he couldn't see His glory. But there was a distance of glory that you could see. When I was taken in the glory, cloud of God Almighty, I was blinded. The only thing I saw was a cloud of glory, light. But it was kind of grayish at first. And then I was blinded. I couldn't see anything. But I knew it was God, because I was ripped, totally ripped apart. His glory radiated through every part of my being. It was no longer me. I was dismantled, totally dismantled. It was like I was nothing. I was like thin air that just radiated through me. And then He reassembled me. And He does things perfect now. Not that I'm perfect, but He's perfect. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Romans 8, 18. We are getting ready to enter glory days. Everyone say glory days. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So He gives us a clue here. He says, I'm not going to let the sufferings of this time. Why? Because the sufferings bring a death to us so that God's glory can take place. See, there's many people that want God's glory, want God's presence, but they're not willing to deny themselves. Amen? All right. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Why? Because the sons of God are carriers of God's glory. Is everybody with me? For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So all of God's creation wants to be restored to the glory of God. For we know that the whole creation groans. Yeah. The whole creation what? groans like birth pangs and labors with birth pangs together until now. Because why? We are getting ready to enter a new era, a new birth. And it cannot happen without the glory of God. Hallelujah. Not only that, but we also, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Again, the glory in us. The world is waiting to see the glory of God. They don't know what they're waiting for. They know something's going to happen. All the whole world knows something's up. But they don't understand what's up. Amen? They're actually waiting. Why? Because within them, there's a desire to be restored to the original state of being. And it's God's glory. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 5. For we do not what? Preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So the Spirit of glory is Jesus. Everybody got it? He's not only the Spirit, the Lord's Spirit, but he is Jesus. Because the world is looking for Jesus. In fact, Jesus is looking for Jesus in me and you. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested on our body. In other words, the glory of God. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. The glory in the face of Jesus starts with death to self. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, God pours out his, like, clouds of glory, little rains in places. But it's all going to come together. That's what you call the earlier and latter rain. It's all going to come together. The glory of God is going to flood the body, his body. And things are going to, people are going to change. Things like people are going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, not even knowing what the heck happened. They'll be walking down the street and shoot a bakafara bakasia. Things are going to happen to their, because it's going to be the final awakening. See, the rapture is the end awakening. But it's for those who have been left behind to awaken. Does everybody get it? But God desires no one to perish, so he's going to reveal himself through the body for the final awakening. Amen? 1 Peter 4:12. Let's speak it. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Anybody going through it? Well, you're supposed to. Praise God. But go through it. As though some strange thing happened to you. Stop saying you're the only one. Because you're not. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. Why? Because the Spirit of glory is resting upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. It's the wrong suffering. A thief, an evildoer, is a busybody in other people's matters, because that's not denying yourself, that's promoting yourself. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, why is judgment coming? To shake, correct, and bring us to the end of ourselves, so that the glory, the Spirit of glory, can rest upon us. Verse 18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will be the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, hello, commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now, let me tell you that what you sow is what you reap. Amen? So even someone you're reaping, you know, you can't blame God for whatever because of what we've sown. Amen? We've made mistakes. We are consequences, this and that. But things can work to the good, can't it? Everything can work to the good no matter what we've gone through. Amen? Hallelujah. So, in this, the Spirit of glory will rest upon those who have come to the end of themselves. They're actually walking away from themselves. Hashtag walk away. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3, in verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. Why? Because he was in the glory of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, and the ministry of righteousness succeeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds are blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because of the veil is taken away where? In Christ. Do you know that many of the Jews, even to this day, still believe that they're not forgiven from God? And we talked about follow the blood. Amen? Because they didn't accept the true sacrifice, the true lamb that was slain for them. So in the Old Testament, when they used to sacrifice the animals for the sins of the nations, they had two goats. One they called a scapegoat. Amen? One they sacrificed to the Lord. So the priest would tie a ribbon, it was called crimson, red ribbon, on the door of the temple. And they would tie one on the goat. And they would sacrifice the one goat, and the other goat they would bring to an end of a cliff and, you know, push him off, whatever. And when he died, because they laid hands on that goat, the sins of the nation, they laid hands and they put it into the goat. When that goat died, the ribbon at the temple door turned white. And so when that turned white, they knew God forgave them. Does everybody understand that? But since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they kept killing and pushing the goats over, but that did not turn white. It stayed red. Why? Because they did not accept the true lamb that was sacrificed for them, the true scapegoat. So to this day, the Jews, still, even in the reading of the Old Testament, don't believe they've been forgiven. Does everybody get this? Because the true lamb that was sacrificed for them has been resurrected. And they refuse to accept him as their Savior. And the atonement sacrifice is the lamb. So 40 years after the resurrection of Jesus, the temple was destroyed. And so now, then you had Solomon, you know, and all the rest of the temples and so forth and whatever. But again, the true final temple is supposed to be resurrected again. Amen? But that hasn't happened yet. So I just wanted to share that in the reading of the Old Testament, they still don't believe they're forgiven because of that. But it says that the veil is away, taken away in Christ, in the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It says, verse 15, but even to this day when Moses is read, in other words, the Old Testament, the books of Moses, the veil is, they're still blinded. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there's what? Liberty or freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from guilt and condemnation. Freedom. Why? Because you know you've been forgiven. Amen? But we all with unveiled faces, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Why? We go from glory to glory because each suffering, each thing that we go through, brings another denial and death to self. Until the fullness of the glory of God has taken us completely over. Oh, hallelujah. Transforming into his image from glory to glory. Death to life. Everyone say death to life. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So that's what we're waiting for, the combination between the early and latter rain, which is the glory. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He's coming, but is he coming physically or is he coming through the body? Coming through the body. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into what? Judgment. But if any among you suffering, let him pray. If any is cheerful, let him sing psalms. If any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Oh, hallelujah. The early and latter rain of his glory. Remember, it is the highest honor of his person. It's called his glory. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are what? In other words, who can understand. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rules of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. Does everybody get that? The rulers of this age is coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for whose glory? Our glory. Which none of the rulers of this world, of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Through his what? His Spirit. Now, we got to understand something here. Do not get me wrong what I'm about to say. It said he didn't reveal it through his word, but through his what? Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is what interprets his word. Amen? So there's so many people, I've heard people say, I've read the Bible 5 and 6 times, it didn't mean nothing to me. Why? Because you ain't got the Spirit. Amen? And if you ain't in the Spirit, you ain't going to interpret what God is saying. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the what? Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man, the carnal man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor interpret them, for they are foolish to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, you get around people and say, yeah, I'm very spiritual. But they don't read the Word of God because they can't interpret it because they got the wrong spirit. Yeah, they're so spiritual, they got every other spirit but the right one. Amen? Yeah, they read horoscopes. They're so spiritual. They have all these crystals, New Agers. They're so spiritual. But they ain't got the spirit. They got a load of demons. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Does everybody get it? If you're in the spirit, you judge all things. You know what's pleasing of God and what's displeasing to God. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no man or no one. He's judged by God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have the storehouse of God, of his thoughts, of his words in our storehouse. Amen. In our mental storage units. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is everybody okay? Good. Let's go a little further. Hallelujah. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. What does wisdom do? Tells you what? What to do. What does understanding do? Tells you how to do it. Amen. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, oh, these are distractions. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Did you ever get around someone that says, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Hello? This is called demonic wisdom. Why? Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil, every evil thing is there. Well, that means that they're confused. See, it's not that you have to understand everything. It's that means you just trust everything. Everybody get it? Because when people are walking in misunderstanding all the time, they judge incorrectly. And by judging incorrectly, you're sowing and going to reap. Oh. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Hallelujah. Again, there are things that the Spirit of God will bring you the interpretation to understand. But there are things that you don't need to go into that area. So be it. Let it be. Trust God and not you. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Amen? Trust, rest, and wait on Him. Because He knows it all. He is not only the beginning, He is the end. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. See, this is distractions from false wisdom. Well, remember, one of the things the enemy always tries to do is bring you to you. If he can bring you to you, you begin to compromise your identity. Woe is me. I don't understand why this has always happened to me. Maybe because you keep trying to understand everything. And you're trying to figure out everything and understand everything instead of trusting Him. Exodus 24, verse 13. It says, so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let them go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Oh, yes. Believe me, on the seventh day, Jesus is going to walk out of that cloud and call everybody to Him. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. In other words, the glory of the Lord in the cloud of consuming fire was for 6 days, and on the seventh day He called. He did what? He called. Are we in the 6,000th year? Yes. Is it coming to an end? Yes. We're almost getting ready to hit 7,000. Well, you know, the start of 7,000. Amen. Daniel chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. I really like this scripture. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. The book of what? The book of life. Now you got to understand something about this, because Daniel's speaking three past, present, and future, and things that will recycle and repeat themselves. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Has that happened yet? Now, in other words, that Jesus rose from the dead, it happened, but it wasn't globally. It was only during Jesus' ministry. Only those that were there, or a part of His ministry, that accepted Him at that time. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, go shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. The end of what? The end of the age. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In other words, artificial intelligence will begin to infiltrate and take over. Everybody depends on AI now. In fact, more people depend on AI than they do the Lord. That's why I will become an idol. That's why I will become a beast. That's why I will become an image of a beast. It will be artificial intelligence. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this side of the river and the other side of the riverbank. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in the linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be a time, times, and half times. That means three and a half. And when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Now listen. Again, I just share with you that it's three-dimensional. So this is just coming to a completion. If you think about this, he said, this is 3.5 years. This is a prophetic thing, something that has occurred. One of the things that occurred in January 12th in 2020, did it affect the world? We haven't seen this. We haven't seen anything affect the world. You and I have been alive in this generation, have never seen anything affect the whole world. Never. Does everybody get it? Never. Our families haven't seen the whole thing affect the whole world, have they? Does everybody get it? The affected the whole world. It was a breaking of the seal. That doesn't mean we're in Revelation. Just that breaking of a seal doesn't mean we're in the fullness of Revelation. It means God is preparing for people to Revelation, for Revelation. Now, so he said 3.5 years and it shall be finished. Well, you take in January 12, 2020, 3.5 years ends up in June 21, 2023. Does everybody get it? That means there's going to be, now there was a prophetic release talking about a summer that we would go through that is going to change everything. So June 21 starts the summer, doesn't it? It is the longest day of the year, isn't it? More light, more exposure. Amen? And for about 45 days of summer, there's going to be a transition that happens. We will, in August, begin a reset, or what we call rebirth of the new era, which we will enter 3.5 years of glory. We will have, why? Because if there's 3.5 years of evil, there'll be 3.5 years of glory. Does everybody get this? Oh, hallelujah. Kim Clement prophesied about the summer coming. He said that the United States would be rebirthed. It would enter a new era. This was a prophetic release. Amen? Is everybody okay? He said, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of, till the time of the what? And now look what he says. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits for the comes to the end of the 1,335 days, but you go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance to the end of the days. Now remember, There is the battle that is against the harlot, and then there's the battle against the beast. The beast will be associated in Revelation. The harlot is associated with me and you now. But before you can take down the beast, you must take down the harlot. Amen. Is everybody okay? So listen, like I said, the glory, the spirit of the glory of God is going to rest on his people. We are entering it. It is coming. And he wants us to be, that's why the shaking and the quaking, so people can wake up. Why? Because when the glory of God comes, blessings come. But you know what? In glory is God. Death comes too. You remember when the priests used to, they used to have a certain ritual they had to do before they went into the most holy place. They would tie a rope and a bell around. There would be a bell around their ankle, and they'd tie a rope around them, around his ankle. If he missed anything when entering the most holy place, you would hear, ring, and they'd pull him out. Because there was something he didn't do to sanctify himself. Everybody, they had a ritual washing, the linen, all of the stuff, all kind. If he skipped something, he died in the presence of the glory of God when it showed up. And they would pull him out and have to send another one in. Next. 2 Corinthians 5. I think we need to start at verse 1. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from above, which is God's glory. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Oh. Now, was Adam and Eve clothed with God's glory? Yes. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee, the Spirit of glory. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God and also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but we give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Where there is reconciliation, there is restoration. Does everybody get it? Where there's reconciliation, there's restoration. That means God is going to restore what the enemy has taken from you. Now, it may not be all relationships and whatever, but some of them may be. He's not going to raise your grandmother from the dead and bring her home to you. Hello? Where there's reconciliation, there's what? Restoration. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, reconciliation brings restoration. The fulfillment of our birthright is coming in the spirit of his glory. Does everybody get it? The fulfillment of our birthright. Remember, Esau sold his birthright. Amen? You and I were born. Our birthright was there. But there's another birthright. There's a birthright to a nation, to this realm. Every one of us has a birth certificate. Amen? If you're legitimate. Your birth certificate is actually a stock. Amen? So you're a stock in a corporation. But you've never received its inheritance or its birthright. That's a part of your restoration by being reconciled to him. Why? Because they've been taken using your stock, selling your stock, using your money. You've been, your taxes and all that stuff has been going to these corporations that have owned you and me under Satan's rule. But see, that corporation has been dissolved and it's going to become a republic, and not only will we be reconciled, but we will be in restoration and restored. Everything is coming back. Why? Because the Spirit of glory will rest upon us. The world will look at us for help. Oh, things are about to change big time, and we're alive to be here. It's awesome. We should be so excited. Again, don't worry about what you're going through. Don't try to figure out everything. Trust everything. We're not perfect yet. We're perfect in him, but we're not perfect in ourselves. Amen. Don't throw your confidence in him away. Don't grow weary while doing the right thing. Maintain your routine. Even when the things don't seem to be happening at all, it's usually when things are happening behind the closed doors, you just don't know God's doing it. Amen? And continue to seek with all of your heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things prayer and supplication. Amen? Let God work it out. Not you. You don't have to work it out. You got to just cooperate. Amen? Work out your own salvation means cooperate. Hallelujah. Praise him all the way. Enjoy your time here on this planet. If you can. Again, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to make mistakes. There's going to be days you're going to feel like a real idiot. You're going to have guilt and condemnation. You're going to regret things you've done. But God has forgiven you. The only one that's remembered is your old man and the devil. It's that old memory bank system. Amen? That's why we need to keep filling the mind of Christ, the storage unit, with God's voice and God's word. And we can work all things out to the good with him, not with ourselves. Amen? Is everybody okay? Are you getting ready? Oh, praise God, get ready. It's going to happen. We're the generation predestined, reconciled, restored for his glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?